The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Today is Monday, July 20th, and the topic today is the reopening of our schools, a topic that is appropriate for just about probably every school, public school in the country. So we're all doing extensive planning, getting ready, hopefully, to reopen our schools. Thanks for tuning in today. If it's the first time you're listening, again, my name is David Leach. I'm the superintendent of schools in the Warwick Valley Central School District. And while we often showcase many of our students' talents while we are in session, our topics this summer have been a little broader, and hopefully you'll enjoy the show and find it informative. It feels like information just keeps on coming in, and the only thing certain right now is uncertainty. Joining me today, I have Mrs. Cindy Leandro from Human Resources in the district, who sometimes helps me, so I'm not just talking into a mic by myself for 30 minutes every Monday. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So again, our topic will be on reopening schools, and why don't we begin with a question from you, Cindy. I know
Absolutely.
That we've gotten various emails from folks and different questions that continue to pop up.
Definitely. So the first question I think we should talk about is regarding the reopening of schools. I know that Governor Cuomo certainly has had a lot to say on this topic of the reopening of schools. And why don't you give us an overview or an update on what the governor is saying?
I appreciate you starting there, because it's important to know that school districts in New York State must always be in compliance with the governor's executive order. So ultimately, the governor will decide if schools reopen. And Governor Cuomo has announced that he's going to have a data-driven approach for reopening schools. He announced that about a week ago or so. And since then, we have been receiving various guidance documents, whether it's from the Department of Health on, you know, that covers topics like screening and mask and personal protective equipment and physical or social distancing, or even most recently on Friday, I believe, I have a copy in my hands. While our listeners cannot see it, of course, as I place this document down, I'm sure you heard that. So it's 134 pages.
It's an encyclopedia.
An encyclopedia to help us. It's actually quite informative, but a lot to digest. So we do have that guidance as well. And I think, you know, the important takeaway would be schools in a given region of the state are going to be permitted to reopen if that region is in phase four of reopening. And if its daily infection rate remains low, in fact, it needs to be below 5% or lower, and they use a 14-day average to calculate that. So schools will be open if that infection rate is low. Schools will close if the regional infection rate, and again, the regional infection rate, rises above 9%, and they'll use a 7-day average after August 1st for that. So New York State will make some kind of formula determination during the first week of August. So we're expecting to learn more from the governor during the first week in August. And, you know, it's our goal back at the school, certainly, to be back in session. We miss our students, we miss our families, and so while, you know, the guidance documents we're receiving thus far, we can talk more about later in the broadcast, they're going to dictate also what back to school means. So, you know, as an educator and a parent, I want back to school to look like last September. I want school to start like last September. I want to have a homecoming parade. I want to have all the traditions and exemplary education take place. And while we may be able to capture some of those goals, the need to physical distance is likely going to make school look different. Physical distance, as well as other Department of Health guidance, is going to make school look different.
Definitely. I know that you also convened a task force and that the task force had devised a survey that we sent out into the community. Could you talk a little bit about that survey? What was it about? And how did that work out for the district?
Sure. So we did send out a survey. So the you know, if you've been listening to previous broadcasts or reading the press releases, you know that we formed a task force that has educators and parents, physicians, so medical experts, et cetera, who are participating in this process and really been charged with selecting the model to use to reopen schools. And understanding that the vast, vast majority, high, high percentage of districts will not be reopening in the fall like they did last fall. It's going to look different. And to address the need to have this physical distancing and other safeguards in place, you know, we did send out a survey. So we had about 2,300 responses from parents and guardians. And we asked items like, you know, what statement best describes your feelings about sending your child or children back to school? And about half said, hey, I'm going to wait and see what the district's plan looks like. A plan that we will publish at the end of July and submit to New York State at the end of July. So we promise to continue to give folks feedback. About 43% or so said, hey, my child's going to go back regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the plan. And then about 7 or 8% said, yeah, I'm going to keep my child home. So part of our planning is not only getting kids back to school physically in the building, but also having a more robust e-learning, distance learning plan, because there are families that are not going to send their children back. Plus, supporting any in-school plan will likely be a distance plan as well, as students will likely, many, not come back to school every day. The next item asks, is it essential, do you feel it's essential to maintain social and physical distancing, to wear masks while we're waiting for a vaccine or treatment? And about 65% strongly agreed or agreed with that, with another 16% not sure. And then we asked an item specific to the possible reopening models. You know, majority of a lot of folks said, hey, I want my kid in school in person. We had about 897 say that. And then we had another 750 say, you know, the alternating days, the hybrid model is what we would like. So when we ranked that item, the hybrid model got strong consideration, as well as, of course, students being in school each day, where there was less folks seemed excited about strictly remote instruction, which would be our fallback if the infection rate climbs to an unacceptable level. We'd be on e-learning or distance learning. And then lastly, the last question on the survey, we asked folks about transportation, because we certainly we need to have a different plan in place for transportation as well. And specifically, we have to have physical distancing on the bus. So we wanted to know, hey, are you going to ride the school bus? And 55% of families said, or 56% of families said yes, with the rest either saying, no, I'm going to transport my child, or not coming back, or my child rides, you know, is going to drive the school if they're older, et cetera. So that's an update on the survey and the and a little bit about, you know, the governor and what he's looking at when he makes his decision. So when we return, we can dig a little bit deeper into what our plans look like in the district. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
At the age of 22, just 3 years after starting Millsbaugh Furniture, the American Civil War began. My great-great-great-grandfather, T.L. Millsbaugh, had to figure out how to make this new business survive. The Spanish flu pandemic hit when my great-great-grandfather was at the helm. A century ago, my great-grandfather faced doing business during the Great Depression and then World War II while his son was serving the U.S. Navy overseas on the Bushnell. In recent history, my father brought us through the housing recession in 2008. Now, just a few months after officially signing documents to be the next generation Association of Mills Boss to own and operate Mills Boss Furniture, I know that we will come through this as well. Just like those before me, I will rely on the same philosophies as my ancestors to provide you with exceptional customer service and beautiful non-disposable furniture and mattresses. If you have recently found the comfort and support of your furniture and mattresses in need of improvement, let my furniture counselors show you what makes our products the best value for you while helping to make your best buying decisions. Sturdy, elegant, comfortable, timeless. That's Mills Spa Furniture since 1858.
When your computer goes down, ask anyone in town, and they'll say,
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
Need a new monitor or a new mouse, or you don't have the right cables or adapters around your house?
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
Got a virus or slow booting up? Could be a problem or just a hiccup.
I know a guy.
The computer guy.
It's their knowledge and experience that makes them great. Call the computer guy at 988-0708 in Warwick, Florida and Goshen. Not just a name, a solution.
I know a guy.
The computer guy. Hi, this is Peter Fellow of A&T Healthcare, your one call for the finest in home healthcare. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. to hear the latest news on everything health-related because your health does matter. That's Health Matters every Thursday at 10 a.m.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. I serve as the superintendent of schools in the Warwick Valley Central School District, and our topic today is the reopening of schools. And right before the break, Mrs. Leandra, who's here from Human Resources and helps facilitate the conversation, we went over some of the broader topics, such as Governor Cuomo and what approach he'll use to decide to reopen schools, and we discussed how that's going to be more of a regional decision based on infection rates. And I also shared some of the data that we received from families regarding the reopening of schools and what their level of comfort was and what their preferences were, of course, all under the umbrella of what we're going to be allowed to do under the governor's executive order and what are smart health guidelines to have. So getting back specifically to Warwick, our school district took a big step forward in planning for this fall by choosing to develop further a hybrid learning model that will include both in-person classes with a blend of remote instruction. So our reopening task force, after looking over the guidelines from the health department, looking over the New York State Education Department's guidance on opening schools, which they entitled Recovering, Rebuilding, and Renewing the Spirit of New York Schools, recognized that in order to have physical distancing, in order to ensure that everyone is safe, if we can reopen in September, if the infection rates allow us to do so, if the governor allows us to do so, that we would do so using a hybrid model. But there are some caveats, and I'll explain. So what we're thinking in Warwick, which is definitely going to separate us from the pack, is to have our students who are entering first grade and kindergarten attend school in person each day in classes that are approximately half the class size. So, you know, how are we able to accomplish that with existing staff, existing facilities, and have every kindergartner in first grade, and why we pick those grade levels? So we are in the process of looking to reopen one of our closed school buildings, the Pine Island Elementary School, as a satellite school. And in fact, we are up there throughout this summer preparing the building, which had some very valued tenants who are leaving, at least for this year. We are cleaning rooms and making any enhancements we need to get ready to reopen that building, which has been closed now for over a decade. By opening up the building, it has about 18 classrooms that we can access. That'll allow us to get our kindergarten students potentially up at the building and then split in half, where you'd have 10, and let's say hypothetically, half in one room and half in the other. The students would stay with that same cohort like they typically do in elementary school throughout the day. So 10 students would stay in one room, 10 in the other. And then there'd be teachers and instructional aides or a combination of the two in the room at all times to educate that group. Why we pick kindergarten? Well, they're 4 years old or 5 years old typically when they start. And we recognize that e-learning, distance learning, while it holds a lot of promise, And we are proud of a lot of the accomplishments we're making there. We can talk about that later in the broadcast. That's probably not the most ideal for, learning program for elementary students, and particularly for kindergarten students. Moving on to first grade, if we have our kindergartners at Pine Island, now we open up classrooms at the other two elementary schools, or the currently our only two elementary schools, Sanfordville and Park. So now our first graders have the space that they would need to be in school all day, the class divided in half. So we thought those two grades, which span the ages of 4 and 7, sometimes 8, having them come in every day as long as those infection rates are low and not being reliant upon distance learning would be the most ideal. Puts a strain on us financially, that's for sure. Puts a strain on us from a human capital and staffing perspective. So that's something that we have to give consideration to. And we have a call? Okay. Hi, this is David Leach.
Hi, Dr. Leach. Just wanted to know what advances the school district's taking in increasing their knowledge of sanitization, decontamination of areas. Are we looking into advanced systems and teaching our cleaning staff and all that? I think that would help people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great question. So the short answer is yes. And on future broadcasts, we'll have folks here to explain precisely what we're doing. So what we've purchased from an equipment end, what that cleaning protocol is going to look like. We started with a task force. Now we're breaking into implementation teams, and there are teams that are strictly looking at that area. How do you disinfect the buses in between bus runs? How do you go over how can you go to large common areas and disinfect, et cetera? So the short answer is yes. And if you'd allow us to really devote an entire, broadcast on that topic and have the folks in here that do that daily, we'll certainly do that in the future. But that will be part of our plan that we submit to New York State. So it's not just about the education, not just about whether it's distance learning, hybrid model, et cetera, but it's also about how you're going to do cleanliness, how you're going to feed students, what's the hallway traffic going to look like? Are you going to cohort students a little bit more than you have it traditionally at the secondary environment? So short answer is yes, but let me just continue with the agenda I have for today to go over the broad strokes of what we're looking at, and then we will address that, which we have to as part of our New York State plan. But thank you for the question. So that's kindergarten and first grade. Students who are entering grades 2 through 12, second graders through high school seniors, they'll attend school in person or on average every other day in class size that are approximately, again, half the size. They'll participate in the e-learning or distance learning on days that they do not report to the school building. We're looking at the secondary environment, high school, doing more cohorting as well, more block scheduling. So fewer periods during the day, longer periods during the day, more time getting in and out of the building, keeping kids segregated as much as possible, not having big, large open spaces to eat. Again, so much to talk about, and we will come back throughout this summer, and eventually when we publish our plan, we'll get into all the specifics by level, by elementary, by middle, by high school. What's lunch look like? What's the instruction look like? What's hall traffic look like? What's food, et cetera, et cetera. But just want to go over the broad strokes today of what our thinking is. So again, students and staff will be grouped and remain in the same room as much as they can. That's an important principle to minimize contact. Students and staff are going to have to observe standard physical or social distancing throughout the day, of course. We're going to have reduced capacity for students on school buses. So hybrid model, think of it this way. If you're coming every other day, whether we elect to use the alphabet to accomplish who comes on today and who comes tomorrow, that's going to have an impact on the buses. And we may ask folks to formally acknowledge whether they're going to ride the school bus or not and stick to that so we can make sure that we have that appropriate distancing in place so we can get the cleaning done, the mask being worn, and the physical distancing. And I mentioned, of course, an updated distance learning plan that we would move forward with, and we're currently working on that now as well. So those are big, reopening a school is a big step. It's been a challenge for us with staffing and with space, but we're excited about the prospect of of what we can do for all students, particularly the kindergarten and first grade plan.
Yes, that was certainly a positive update as to what the task force has put together so far. And I know you convened with them late last week. What about the new information you could share regarding outdoor classrooms? I know you've been looking into putting together some outdoor spaces in the district for the fall. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So another strategy, and again, we'll go over the whole distance learning plan and probably ask our friends at WTBQ for an hour or more when the time comes in the near future. But the idea of space expansion is important. How do we expand our square footage in order to enable improved physical distancing? And one area that we're looking at, and of course there's open spaces like a gym, gymnasium, et cetera, but we are looking at adding additional spaces through outdoor classrooms. So if you visit Park Avenue, for example, up on the Village property, we have some beautiful classrooms, outdoor classrooms with internet accessibility there. We're going to be expanding those. Hopefully we ask for permission, waiting to hear back from the Village. We're adding another outdoor classroom up at Park. Sanferville, the same thing. And now we're looking at our secondary environments as well. So we'll be definitely doing that.
That's certainly a novel approach, and we have so many nice spaces here to take advantage of. And what about, just in terms quickly, if you can talk about, you mentioned the distance learning plans last year versus this year. I know certainly we're in progress with formulating those plans, but what types of changes do you think our new district learning plan or new distance learning plan would involve?
They're working on that currently. It'll be an interesting broadcast to tune into. But I believe a significant change that you would see would be a lot more live instruction. So we were sort of building the plane up in flight last early mid-March when we suddenly unexpectedly closed schools. We relied a lot on video, a lot on Google Meets. They may still be pieces we rely on, but we recognize there needs to be more on-time instruction, live instruction for distance learning, and there needs to be a schedule that provides flexibility but also provides routine for students. So I think that those are going to be guiding principles with the enhancements that we're going to make, that's for sure. So more information to come there. And, back to, our caller, with the whole safety and sanitation area, we're looking to update all our operating procedures for the sanitation of our kitchens, cafeterias, food warehouses. I know we bought some devices that can, clean larger areas more quickly, that should be coming in soon. And we've been installing barriers up at the point of sale and point of pickup at different locations, meaning, shields, et cetera, that you would see if you went to a local store. Adequate supplies of face masks, soap, hand sanitizer, you name it. And of course, a protocol in place to disinfect those high touch surface areas, whether it's tables, chairs, carts that we use in transportation or touch pads. So that'll be a whole broadcast. It's an excellent question. And my apologies not being really thorough with the answer at this time. A little tricky to do so at this point, but please rest assured knowing it's getting a significant attention.
Well, I think you said there's an entire team that's going to be devoted to looking at that area in terms of being its own implementation team.
Absolutely. Well, Cindy, thanks for being here today and helping me with this conversation a little bit. And we'll continue to keep folks apprised. We'll have a press release come out today. We're working on a plan that gets published at the end of the month. And we'll be back next Monday. So tune back in next Monday for an update. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Bye now.